You know, it doesn't take too long to know what people really care about. You know, you can scroll through someone's social media page and see things that they care about the most. I mean, I love being Instagram friends with some people, like someone like Nikki Hooker. I don't know if you know Nikki, Pastor Shane's wife, our youth pastor's wife, Nikki, posts pictures all the time, and I love it because I love to see the videos and the pictures of her kids and the fun and the shenanigans and the mischief and all of that kind of stuff. It's just really cool. She does it because she's passionate about her kids. I mean, during sporting events, you can see people who post things on their Facebook or in their Instagram or whatever it is. They wear t-shirts of it. And it's a little sickening right now with the whole Cub thing going on. I know I'm in the minority probably, but I'm not a Cubs fan. But you know, we're going to let them have it this year because it's been a really long time, right? They have been long suffering. They could teach us a lot about that, so we'll be excited for them, I guess. But you know, it's a really kind of a difficult time of year, or every 4 years, right? It's a little hard to take, to be honest, on Facebook and everything with all the political posts, and I just wish Facebook would invent some type of a block for politics, right? In fact, I even deleted my Facebook app off of my phone just because it's just the same stuff all of the time. And, you know, we'll just see what happens. See, here's the realization that's not hard to come by. People go public with the things that they're most passionate about. People will publicly identify with what they are most passionate about, whether it's their pets or their politics, right? Whether it's their family or even what they had for dinner that night. People go public with what they're passionate about, and they want to let everybody know what's going on in their life and the things that they really care about. Now, let's take that to faith. Why is it so hard for people, why is it so hard for us to go public with our faith? Why is there such a struggle when it comes to letting somebody know that we love and follow Jesus? It's not that we're not passionate about our faith. It's not that it's not really important to us, but for some reason, there's this internal resistance. When something happens in our community and we are talking to somebody and it just kind of feels right, maybe we should say something about our faith. We just have this inner pull and it's like, no, you don't want to offend them. So I want to talk about that for just a minute. Because if you feel like this, if you feel like that, I want you to know you're not alone. That resistance seems to be normal. I feel it. And I know many of you feel that as well. But you know what? We also find it in Scripture. We find that resistance. We find that struggle. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 20. I'm going to have the Scripture on the screen as well for you to follow along. But let me set the stage really quick. So for 3 years, the disciples have been following Jesus, right? They were called. They left everything that they know. They left their businesses. They left their friends, their family, everything to follow Jesus. And they were able to see Jesus do some crazy, miraculous things. In fact, some of them were able to be a part of that, a part of some of those miracles where they actually were the hands and feet there, where they actually did the miracle themselves, is really, really cool. And so now Jesus has been crucified, right? So when we get to this point, Jesus had been rejected by men. He even told his disciples this, that he was going to be rejected, that he was going to be put to death. Of course, they didn't believe him. In fact, some of them just flat out denied it. He even tried to explain to them, I will die, but I will rise again, that in 3 days I will come back to life. But they just didn't get this. Finally, it came to the point where Jesus was arrested, where he was falsely accused, where he was killed on a Roman execution stake, a cross. But you know what? Death couldn't beat him. The grave couldn't hold him. He came back to life just like he said he would. He was alive again. And then right after this is where we find the disciples here, the ones who were closest to Jesus. We find them here in John chapter 20, verse 19. It said, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So the disciples were all gathered together in their very first church lock-in. They were in a room, the door was bolted shut, and they were afraid. They were afraid that what happened to Jesus just might happen to them. So anxiety is high in the room. They retreated into this room. They locked the doors, and look what happens next. It says, Jesus came and stood among them. So imagine that. Imagine what's going on there. The disciples, they were scared to death. They were at this lock-in. The doors were locked so no one would get in. And next thing you know, Jesus is standing there with them. Imagine what was going through their minds. Jesus somehow walks in. And look what he says. He walks in the room and then he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Notice what's going on. Jesus was put to death, and the disciples were all scared because they were probably the most visible followers of Jesus. People would have known who they were. And they were all huddled up in this room. And the first thing Jesus does when he sees them was to give them his peace. Now, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been in some hectic, tumultuous situation. And instead of running around, trying to fix everything, trying to make things happen, I just needed to take a deep breath and rest in God's peace. Maybe that's the thing that we need. Our natural tendency is to fix things, to make things happen. And maybe what we need to do is just receive his peace. Just receive his peace. But I want you to notice that he doesn't waste any time, because right away, he gives them his peace. He says it a few times, we'll find out. But he gives them a mission. Verse 20 says, when he had showed this, he showed them his hands and his side to prove, you know, this is me. You know, I have holes in my hand. I have a hole in my side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He says, I know that you've been hunkered down here in this room. I know you are in fear of your life, but now I am going to send you out. I am going to send you on a mission. My Father sent me. I am going to send you. You are going public with this thing. But wait. Don't leave yet. Wait just a second. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. If you were here a couple weeks ago, one of the things we talked about was when Adam was first formed, Jesus knelt down, and out of the dust of the ground, he formed the first man, Adam. But that was just a body. He formed the body, and then it says in Scripture that God breathed life into him. So you can see a little bit of the correlation here. You can see a little bit of what's happened, but because before he breathed on them, the body was lifeless. And here we have some pretty lifeless followers of Jesus, scared, huddled together, in a locked room until Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them. The Holy Spirit will give you this new life where fear doesn't hold you, where you don't have to hide, where you don't have to deal with shame, where you can become bold and you can go public with your faith. A few pages later in the book of Acts, we see the church on the move in Acts chapter 2. We see what happens when the Holy Spirit enables Peter to speak to a body of people, to a lot of people. And this is what the results were. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Imagine that. Imagine the scene. Imagine what was going on. 3,000 people were baptized. I have no idea how that could have even happened. Like in one day, 3,000 people. I think I would have got creative. I think I would have lined them up, got a fire hose, and just sprayed them all down. We aren't told exactly how this would happen, but if you would go to Jerusalem today, you would find this. You would find this ritual bathing pool. Picture, please. Dale. There it is, right? And at the bottom of the stairs where Peter was preaching and in the surrounding area, this is a mizpah, right? And this is where they would go and they would ritually cleanse themselves before they would enter the temple. And there are dozens of these around there. It looks like kind of like a baptismal. And so however that happened, 3,000 people believed and were baptized. I want you to think about this real quick. Think about this whole thing real quick. Because these same disciples that deserted Jesus at the crucifixion, that denied knowing him, who were locked in a room afraid for what might happen to them, and in a moment, they were given the Holy Spirit. And they proclaimed a message that brought life to 3,000 people. That's a crazy difference. You think of who they were before and who they were after, they're completely different people. Because here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker for us to have a public faith. It's the difference maker. In the first chapter of Acts, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." He says the Holy Spirit will enable you, will give you power, will give you boldness, will give you courage to tell everybody who I am. You will be my witness. That power, it gives them the power to become witnesses from him. It's that same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that was with the disciples, that was with Peter on that day. That power, if you have said yes to Jesus, lives in you. It's the power to say the right things at the right time to the one that you love the most. It's the power to walk away from temptation. It's the power to love unconditionally. It's the power to make the right decisions. It's the power to forgive even when you don't feel like it. It's the power to stare fear in the face and move forward with courage. It's the power to hear bad news and yet still be filled with joy. It's the power, young people, it's the power to say no to your friends, but yet the same power to point them to Jesus. That power, that same power that blew the rock away from the tomb lives in you. So let's walk through this progression that we see in Acts, because it all starts with the crowd. It starts with the crowd. There were thousands upon thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem that day. When he preached to this group of people, he was preaching to thousands and thousands of people. They were gathered there. They had come to Jerusalem spiritually searching for something. And honestly, we all start there. We all start in the crowd. Your crowd might have looked different than my crowd. I can think back at my crowd when I was in high school and when I was in college and the crowd that I came out of when I was spiritually searching. That was a pretty dark crowd. So what your crowd looks like might be a little different, but we all started in the crowd wanting to know more, drawn towards God in some way, wanting to know more. Now from the crowd, we move to confession. This is where people believed in Jesus. They confessed in him as their Lord. And Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In confession, there is power as you confess Jesus as Lord. It is the power of the Holy Spirit then that enables us to go public with our faith in baptism. Now, baptism was the next step that we see here in Acts. Baptism was always the next step in Scripture because over and over again, we hear, we read, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Step one, step two, believe and be baptized. Baptism is the public declaration of the commitment you've made to Christ. The public declaration of the commitment you've made to Christ. You could say it like this. Think of a marriage. The confession that you make to Jesus is like the vows that you make, and then the baptism is like the ring. Right? So let me read to you a typical vows. Right? This is actually, I pulled it straight from Dylan and Shelby's wedding, so I'm just going to read it. It says, I, Dylan... He said these things, right? He said these things. I, Dylan, take you, Shelby, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. That commitment, you see that when we make our vows to each other as husband and wife. Think of that in terms of the commitment that you are making to Jesus. To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, when things are great and when things aren't going well. For richer, for poorer, I will still have joy and I will be content with what you have given me, Father. In sickness and in health, even with that bad news we may have gotten from the doctor. To love and to cherish. That's the confession. That's the commitment that you make, like the vows. But you know what? I have never done a wedding. I have never done, and there's a lot of weddings here at this church, but I have never done a wedding where one time, not even one time, where the bride and groom decide not to have wedding rings. Not one time has anybody said, you know what? We just not going to do the rings, right? We'll just skip that part. Now, I've had rings that are tattooed, right, on the finger. I have rings like that. I have had groomsmen lose the rings, or at least act like they lose the rings. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're like, oh, I don't know, you know, and they have them the whole time. Anyway, I've even had rings delivered down the aisle in a remote-controlled truck, right? But not once, not one time has anyone ever said, we're just not going to do that. The rings, the visible representation is what God has done in them. Why are the rings so important? Because we publicly identify with what we're most passionate about. We publicly identify with what we're most passionate about. Now, when I do a ring ceremony, these are the things that I say. I give you this ring as a symbol of our union. And with all that I am and all that I have, I promise to honor you in the name of God with this ring. I thee wed. It's saying, I want everyone to know, right, whose I am. I want everyone to know. I want to identify with the love of my life. I want everyone to know this. I want everyone to know that I am taken. So back off. You know what I mean? Baptism is publicly identifying with Christ. So why be baptized? It's real simple. First, because Jesus was baptized. Jesus, the Son of God, was baptized. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And it's a really kind of a funny story when you look at it, because John the Baptist was this kind of really odd guy, and he dressed weird, and he smelled funny, and he didn't like privately baptize people. He publicly baptized people. It was in front of all sorts of people, and he says, you need to repent and be baptized. And so people would come in, and he would baptize them in the Jordan River, right? And so Jesus, he was baptizing people. Jesus walks up. The Son of God walks up, who John has been telling everybody about, and he says, I'm ready. He stands in line, right? Like, I'm going to be baptized. And John was like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't baptize you. He says, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals. You know, I'm not even worthy to do anything like that, let alone baptize you. And Jesus is like, no, come on. And so Jesus was baptized. Heavens opened up. God says, this is my Son of whom I am well pleased. This is my Son of whom I am well pleased. So why do we get baptized? Because Jesus did. He is our example. He showed the way. And so we are baptized. Second, on top of that, Jesus said the very first thing that that should happen after believing, after that confession, is to be baptized. People have asked me all the time, is baptism, how important is baptism? Do you need to be baptized to be saved? And let me just say this. Baptism has nothing to do with your salvation, right? It doesn't save you. But if you think about it, why would you say yes to Jesus? Why would you confess him as your Lord, as your leader, as the one who leads your life, and then not do the very first thing that he asks us to do? If you say, yes, Lord, lead me, and he says, okay, believe and be baptized, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, let me think about that one. Time and time in Scripture, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Baptism represents going from death to life. They're in the water, under the water, death brought up back to life, from darkness to light, from lost to found. And the Bible tells us all heaven celebrates. And so do we. So do we. I love baptismal celebrations. Right? As we get to see people go from death to life, it's amazing. I love being a part of a church that gets so excited about baptisms. Love being a part of that. Today, we are obviously celebrating baptisms, and we have 7 people that are going to be baptized. It's going to be awesome. But I want to say, before I have them come up here, actually, if Bruce, would you mind running down? We're going to have the kids come up as well. We want the kids to see all this. We think it's great when they're involved. They're going to come up here, and they're just going to sit on the floor here. They're going to go get them. But I want to say that before I have them come up, if you were out here today and you realize, you know what, it's time for me to go public with my faith, Even if you haven't talked to me, see, we're baptizing seven today, but there's no reason we couldn't baptize seven more. We even have some extra towels and everything. I mean, I've been a part of baptisms where you walk in having no idea what's going to happen and you leave there soaking wet, right? There are ladies that will come in and they're just, their hair's all done up and everything, and next thing you know, drowned rat. But that's cool, right? Nothing, no, a drowned rat never looks so beautiful. Then after a baptism. So I want to ask, I want to invite you today. I want to have the seven candidates come up, but if you're out there today and you're like, you know what, that's a step that I need to take, I need to go public, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me today, go public with my faith, then I would love for you to line on up, right? It would be awesome. So let's have the baptismal candidates to come on up here. Actually, just stand right here on the bottom of the stage would be really cool. Band's gonna come out. We'll have a little music. We'll get a little excited, right? On up here. So, love it. This is awesome. This is incredible. We have someone taking pictures. It's going to be really cool. So here's your job, guys. Your job, obviously, is to pray for these people, right? As they're going public with their faith. But I just want you to get all excited, right? That's what we want. We want you to get all excited because they're excited. And this is what's so great is when a church gets to do this all together, we all get to celebrate. They're celebrating, but we all get to celebrate. And so here comes all of the kids. Welcome, children. You guys are awesome. All right. Well, let's start. Let's start first. We have Jordan. Come on up, Jordan. Oh, yeah. Wrong Jordan. Different Jordan. All right. This is Jordan Hansen. Recently have received Christ, so excited, one, that he's going to be baptized today, but then also his fiance is going to be baptized today, Avery. They're getting married in January, and so there isn't a better way to start a marriage, right, than going public and saying, this is who we are. I am a follower of Jesus. I have said yes to him. I'm giving my life to him, and can't wait to see what God's going to do in this family. So go ahead and have a seat. No, the other way, because I'm right-handed. And take my watch off here. Tyler, you have said yes to Jesus. You've asked him to lead your life. So, Tyler, Jordan Tyler Frank Hansen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Avery, come on up. Future Avery Hansen. This is Avery Friel. She's given her life to Jesus. She is going public with her faith today. Said yes to lead her. He said yes for Jesus to lead her life. And I love the fact that Jordan went first because, you know, his job is to lead his wife. And so, Avery Emmeline Friel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Abby Reardon. She said the other day, she said, I think it was last week, she said, Rabbi, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like I'm on fire, right? Like, I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life, and saying yes to Him is the biggest decision, most important decision you have ever made. And it's gonna change your future forever as He leads you. As He leads you, and you say, continue every day to say yes to Him. So Abby Kent Reardon, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey, did you bring a towel? You got it? Hey, someone bring her a towel. Where's that at? There you go. Under her chair, there's a bag. Bring that on up here. Here we go. Towel boy. Awesome. Trevor, you and the girls, come on up. This is Trevor Ferguson. Trevor recently married, right? Starting this new life. These are his girls. Well, you know, in Scripture, we see that at one point, Lydia became a follower of Jesus. And then the next thing in Scripture, it says, after she said yes to Jesus, it said she went home and her whole family were baptized. So here we go. Trevor, you and your family here are going to be baptized, and you're going to lead the way as you have said yes to Jesus, as you are asking Him to lead your life and to help you lead your wife, to help you lead these beautiful girls. Your family is new. Your life is new. So, Trevor Ferguson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Towel. There's one. Ooh, we got three towels. Here we go. All right. Juliana. Yeah, come on in. It's awesome. It's really warm. Feel it. It's really warm. You want Daddy to help? Daddy will help. It's going to be real fast. Real fast. Good job. Good job. Just have a seat. You're okay. Oh, just sit right there. You want to just sit? You want to just do it standing? Yeah? You want to do it standing? Huh? You want to do it standing? You want me to just pick you up? Yeah? You want me to just pick you up? Juliana Janine Ferguson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a first. There we go. Ready? That was awesome. Great job. Great job. Jordan, come on in, sweetie. Come here. You want me to help? You want Daddy to help? Look at them. They're all so shy.
They are very shy.
Ooh, here we go. Yes. Jordan, you want to have a seat? Yeah? Okay, just sit. Let's see. Oh, look, we can't even see her. She's down here. I promise you, she's down here. Jordan Ann Ferguson. Sweetie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh. Good job. Awesome. Brianna. This is Brianna Talamantes. Brianna, really so excited about being baptized. She's asked me a little while ago, and so we're gonna get the floor all wet here, but it is gonna be incredible. Brianna, you have said yes to Jesus. You have asked Him to lead your life from this day forward, for now and forever. For your future family, for everything about you, you have said yes to Him, and He will lead you. So Brianna, Sue, Talamantes, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So before we go, I always say this. We're going to leave this thing up there. Actually, someone has already told me they want to be baptized next week, so we'll have another baptismal next week during our second service. If there's anybody else that would like to, we'd love to do that as well. You can just contact me at some point. All right? Well, let's again celebrate with them, can we? Let's give God all the glory. Amen. Amen.